I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett has proposed major cuts to social service programs in the next fiscal year. That includes eliminating the General Assistance Program, which provides about $180 a month to 60,000 Pennsylvanians. It also includes a plan to combine money for human service programs into a single block grant. Counties would have more flexibility to manage these programs, but they'd also have to deal with a 20% cut in funding. The response to the plan from agencies and local governments has been overwhelmingly critical. The administration says the state is on an unsustainable path. It's our topic for today's Radio Times. And we begin with Gary Alexander. He's Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare. And Secretary Alexander, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Marty.
I'm thinking about, and when you add all these proposed cuts together, we're talking about $629 million in cuts. If I am poor or disabled, homeless, elderly, ill, I get programs through mental health and mental and substance abuse programs. What am I supposed to do if this goes through?
Well, the good news, Marty, is that this budget maintains the core programs of the department and maintains the safety net. Virtually, the Medicaid program has been left virtually untouched. Our cash assistance program is in place, and of course our food stamp program is in place and growing constantly. So from the perspective of the poor and indigent, what I would say is that the cuts that we've made in this budget are necessary just to sustain our programs, because the state's revenues are growing at 2 to 2.5%, and the department and all welfare programs in the state growing well over 8% year over year. So we're really on an unsustainable course. And as you know, the governor has made a pledge to not raise taxes and to grow the economy. So that's where we're at right now.
But if you're going to eliminate $629 million out of the budget for public welfare, that's going to hurt people.
Well, I mean, I think that the department for a long time, as you may or may not know, has been growing at unsustainable rates. And I keep going back to this. We virtually or really have right now about 2.1 employed individuals to every one person on the welfare system. 10 years ago, it was well over 3, and about 20 years ago, it was well into the 4s. So if we could continue down this course where we keep growing the department's budget, and there are no additional revenues, it's going to eat away at education, transportation, and all public safety and all of the other vital services of the Commonwealth. And all it will do is maintain a system where every year we have to keep cutting. We are trying to right-size the department to maintain our core programs, which are intact, and yet balance that with the fact that these programs have been growing well beyond their means.
Part of this proposal is to, in a sense, block grant a number of social service programs into a single block grant and give counties some flexibility, but they also have to deal with a 20% cut in that funding. And the response from some of the county commissioners is that, you know, they don't mind the block grant, but they don't know how to deal with a 20% cut without having to make some pretty serious cuts in services for individuals in their counties.
The counties for many years have been asking for flexibility because basically they've been telling us that Harrisburg has been heavy-handed in the way we deal with rules and regulations. And we've responded to their request, but anytime you give flexibility to an entity, there has to be some give and take. And we realize that with that flexibility, the counties will be able to move money around as they need to. And in fact, for as many of the counties that have complained about the cut, we've also heard from some counties that believe that they can sustain those types of reductions with that needed flexibility. So the good news is that they're going to have the flexibility and that we are working with them very, very closely. For the first time, we have established a county work group where actual county commissioners are working with the Department of Public Welfare hand in hand to try and move forward. Is it going to be easy? No, it's not. However, working together with the counties, we believe this will become a reality and work very well.
And some of the counties that are more critical of this plan say that it essentially just shifts the burden, the responsibility to the counties either to raise taxes to cover these social service programs or to make cuts in the programs.
The counties will have the flexibility to be able to move money around as necessary. And when we looked at some of our county spending, and we have vast programs which we operate and administer with the counties, this program that we're talking about happens to be a state-only funded program. The other programs, which are jointly sponsored with the federal government, at times the counties have turned surpluses. So we believe that the counties can manage very well and that they'll be able to. One thing I think the listeners should realize is that the program that you're talking about, this block grant to the counties, is made up of all state-only funds. There are no federal funds associated with this, so we don't receive any match from the federal government. Approximately 80% of our budget at the department is made up of the Medicaid program, and because of the federal stimulus money that the state received, and now because of the federal health care law that's being debated in the Supreme Court, the state can't make any substantive reforms to the Medicaid program. So the state had to essentially look at the 20% of its budget, which is made up of only state-only programs. And with that, I think we've done a decent job of maintaining health benefits and delivering these services to the counties in a way that will be flexible for them to move money around as they see fit. Right now, they have complained to us that everything is stovepiped and siloed, and that they can't, when they have a shortfall in one area, they can't make that up. This will allow them that ability.
Let me quote something from George P. Hartwick, the 30s. He's a Dauphin County Commissioner, and he wrote recently, "We believe in continued state and county system reforms, but a reduction in community mental health services would only drive up the prison population and force people back into institutions, thus shifting the financial burden to county taxpayers." What do you say in response?
In 1996, the federal government proposed a block grant for the cash assistance program for our poorest individuals. That was the old AFDC program, as we called it. And if you look back to all of the old newspaper articles, we had politicians, leaders around this country saying that there would be people living in the streets because of these reforms. It's acted just the opposite. People have gone back to work, they've gotten the services that they needed, and it's been much more transitional in that block grant methodology. Now, maybe block grants don't work for everything, but when it comes to these types of funds at the county level, giving the counties that type of flexibility will ensure that they'll be able to be most cost-effective while delivering the services to the truly needy individuals that they serve.
But where are the jobs that the people want and are looking for that would get them off of some form of public assistance?
There are a number of jobs out there. I think the state has not done or maximized its ability to the extent possible to be able to put people to work. So what the governor has decided to do is ask the Department of Public Welfare to work with the Department of Labor and Industry in a way that we haven't in the past, to be able to direct folks from the welfare offices right over to labor and industry to one-stops so that people will have an opportunity to find work. I think, you know, are there a lot of high-end jobs out there? Probably not. But there are a lot of lower-end entry jobs that may become available or are available. If you go into any of the department stores whenever you go shopping and if you ask for an application for employment, more times than not, they'll tell you that they are hiring. And a lot of these businesses even offer some form of benefits like Home Depot or Lowe's or other corporations like that. So we're working with the Department of Labor and Industry to be able to do that. And I'll just leave you with a thought. Well, I'm not going to leave you yet.
I was going to say, don't leave us yet because we have a couple more minutes.
No. I'll give you a thought. Up in Luzerne County, I'm sure the listeners have heard of the Lowe's Corporation. Lowe's started a program for disabled individuals, those with autism, Asperger's, those who are limited by a wheelchair, or they have other issues. And they started this program for the disabled community. It's been an overwhelming success. The individuals that work there, there are over, I think, 60 individuals, have sustained employment. They work full-time, and their productivity is better than people like you and I. Now, I'm not saying that every individual can do that. However, if you go up and look at what's going on at that Lowe's and see how hard these individuals work, and the fact that they get there earlier than you and I and work harder than you and I think everybody has the ability to be able to go to work. And these are the types of reforms that we're trying to begin and stress over the long haul.
We only have a couple minutes, and I have a couple more questions. One has to do with eliminating the general assistance program, the part of the program that, frankly, gives money, about $200, depending on where you live, to help people pay for rent, pay for food, pay for sort of basic assistance. What's the justification to try to eliminate, to want to eliminate this particular program?
Well, as I had said earlier, the general assistance program is one of those programs that's a state-only program. So, you know, 80% of our budget, basically, we could not touch. And looking at our 20% that we really could focus on, that's part of the general assistance program. Are these reductions challenging? Certainly they are, but we have created this new work environment with the Department of Labor and Industry. The majority of the individuals we serve on the General Assistance Program are men, and we believe that with some intervention, some of these individuals will go back to work. We're trying to tighten our disability requirements to make them look more like the federal requirement. Right now we have a very lax disability requirement in the general assistance program. It doesn't have the same rigor as the federal law. And so we're trying to tighten up all these areas so that these programs can be sustained for the long haul. The good news in the general assistance program is that we've maintained health benefits and not cut health benefits.
Well, and we're almost out of time here, but when I look at the budgets, it looks like a proposed cut of $169 million for health cuts.
The health cuts, I think you're looking at, are probably, I'm not sure which ones you're looking at. But,
part of the general assistance.
Those are modifications in the program that will come around disability and being able to send people to work. As I had said earlier, when we looked at our disability requirement and really focused on it, the bar was very low and it didn't match the federal requirement. We need to be able to bring our programs in line with at least federal standards so that we can ensure that these programs are maintained for the truly needy individuals.
And we have to end on that note. Gary Alexander, Secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times. And we'll be right back.
The Kemmel Center supports WHYY and welcomes Paco de Lucia to Verizon Hall on Tuesday, April 10th for an evening of flamenco guitar. One of the leading ambassadors of Spanish musical culture and heritage, de Lucia embarks on his first U.S. tour in more than 5 years. His innovative style and collaborations infuse new life into a centuries-old musical tradition. Tickets for Paco de Lucia are available at 215-893-1999 or KimmelCenter.org.
The singer, Morley, has traveled the world working with children in conflict zones and performing for people like Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama. Her latest and most personal album is called Undivided. We hear new music from Morley next time on Tell Me More.
They stood together under a tree in tall grass on TV.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Abington Health supports WHYY. Their Orthopedic and Spine Institute is performing a procedure called anterior hip replacement. Using a mini incision and specifically designed surgical table, surgeons at Abington and Lansdale Hospitals are able to replace the hip joint through the front rather than the side, sparing muscles. The hospital stay and the recovery time are shorter, enabling patients to return more quickly to regular activities, like driving. More at abingtonhealth.org/bone.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about the Corbett administration here in Pennsylvania wanting to reduce spending on social service programs by $629 million in the next fiscal year. We just said goodbye to Secretary Gary Alexander. And now we welcome two more guests to Radio Times. And joining us here in our Philadelphia studios is Michael Froelich. He's a staff attorney with Community Legal Services here in Philadelphia. Michael, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
It's good to be here.
And on the telephone is Gary Drabeck. He's the CEO of United Way of Lackawanna and Wayne Counties. And Gary Drabeck, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Hi, Marty. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you both here. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Michael, let me go back to something that Secretary Alexander inferred, but it's something that he also wrote recently in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Pennsylvania taxpayers pay about 40 cents on each of their tax dollars for welfare programs here in the state of Pennsylvania. Obviously, the argument from the Corbett administration is that this is an unsustainable path. Do you agree with at least that analysis of the funding for these social service programs?
I don't. When Secretary Alexander talks about the rising costs of the Department of Public Welfare, he's really talking about the rising costs of health care. The Department of Public Welfare, as he said, now spends over $3 out of $4 on health care costs like Medicaid for poor families and long-term care for seniors. The part of the welfare budget that is not spent on health care has actually remained pretty stable over the years. For example, the general assistance program, the grant amount has stayed the same since 1991.
This is about the $200
exactly,
a month.
Exactly. Staffing levels at the county assistance offices has been decreased by about 15% over the past 8 years. So should we be concerned about rising health care costs? Sure, we should. But that's why we should be embracing some of the health care containment provisions in the Affordable Care Act. And we shouldn't use the rising costs of health care as an excuse to decimate the Human Services Program or to eliminate general assistance.
Well, let me go to you, Gary Drabeck. And I'd be curious about your response to that as well. And the Affordable Care Act is something that's frankly being argued in the U.S. Supreme Court. Pennsylvania has to deal with its particular budget. Do you have any sympathy for the governor and for the secretary, Gary?
Well, Marty, I have to say those of us in the social service world, I mean, we know that there has to be some cost containment that's done, but it has to be done across the board. I mean, it seems as though, at least as the time that I've been here, and I've been here 25 years, it always seems that the first place to get cut is in the social service area. I think part of it is because you're dealing with individuals who really have no political clout. They're down on their luck. They don't have the ability for political contributions, and they traditionally don't vote. It's an easy cut, and I agree with what was just said, because I think what you're looking at is a need for health cost containment in the healthcare industry. Right now, the human services, and we see it every single day on the ground level, are suffering. More important than that, individuals who require these services are suffering.
Well, going back to you, Gary, and you're in Lackawanna and Wayne counties, and mm-hmm. I was reading that you have the highest rate of unemployment in Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
We've had the highest rate of unemployment in PA going on about 24 months right now. From my perspective in the social service world, and again, having been here as long as I have, we're seeing this phenomenon that I've never seen before. Individuals who are asking for and applying for help are not the chronically poor. The vast majority that we're beginning to see are individuals who for the first time are coming out saying, you know, I need help paying for my grocery bill, I need help paying for my heat, because they've lost their jobs. We are now faced with trying to assist them with much less reduced funding from the state government.
Let me go back to you, Michael, and even going back to this general assistance budget, and Pennsylvania, I won't say it is unusual in regards to this program, but not every state has this program, which gives people, I mean, a subsistence amount of money, but nonetheless about $200 a month for 9 months out of the year.
Well, sure, but, you know, there's a majority of states that do offer state-funded general assistance programs. I think 30 of the 50 states do offer these programs. And when you look at the states that offer them, you know, they're like our neighboring states like New York and New Jersey and Delaware and Ohio. States that don't offer the general assistance programs are states like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Alabama. And I say this with all due respect to the folks in those states and my friends in those states, but I think think of the state budget is it's a morals document. It's a values document. It's a document where we say these are our priorities. And I would much rather measure the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania against states like Ohio, New York, New Jersey, and Delaware than against the other states I mentioned.
But if someone is not going to be getting this money, what will that mean for that individual?
Right. Let me say a little bit about the general assistance program, because I don't think that it's been getting the attention that, for example, the Human Services Program receives. The Secretary Alexander a moment ago said that the Department of Public Welfare was able to maintain the core programs. He said to maintain the safety net programs. But flatly, that's not true, because the general assistance program is the pure definition of a core program, of a safety net program. General assistance provides the only source of income for 68,000 Pennsylvanians. In order to receive general assistance, you have to fit one of four different categories. If you're able to work, you can't get general assistance. You either have to have a temporary disability verified by a doctor that you cannot work, or you have to be a survivor of domestic violence, or you have to be in a drug and alcohol recovery program that precludes work, or you have to be a child who is temporarily living with a non-family member. So I want to be clear, because there's been some confusion on this. If you can work, you cannot get general assistance. And if this proposed cuts goes into place, then overnight, 68,000 Pennsylvanians are going to completely lose their income.
And Gary Drapek, when you look at Lackawanna and Wayne counties, how many people, do you know how many people we might be talking about?
Offhand, Barney, I don't have the number, but I do know that it numbers into the thousands. We have individuals here who depend on the GA for, for basic, and you're talking about $200 a month. Right. I mean, and it's helping to pay for basic services. It's helping to put food on the table. It's helping to pay for heat. In some cases, it may be going towards low-cost rent. And as Michael was saying, overnight, that's going to be gone. So the question then becomes, where do these individuals then turn? From my perspective, sitting where I sit as a supplier of human services, people then turn to United Way-funded organizations. Well, we're now in an economy where, as you said, Lackawanna Wayne County has, the largest unemployment rate in Pennsylvania at this moment. We have individuals who cannot support United Way, so therefore our revenues are down. These individuals are going to be left without on the street, and as someone said earlier, I think Michael might have said earlier, what are the options? The streets, the jails, God only knows.
What is your budget? I'm curious, Gary.
Our budget for the entire operation is about $4 million, and when you look at the fact that, 168 is being cut from the state, $4 million is covering a variety of service, including domestic violence service, including homeless assistance. But it's a very small piece of the overall budget that our agencies are using.
Go ahead, Michael. I know you want to add something.
I did. I think Gary Drapek is absolutely correct. If you take away the only source of income for 68,000 Pennsylvanians, and about 34,000 of them are in Philadelphia, these folks are not just going to vanish. I'm a proud West Philly resident, and I'm a taxpayer, and I want my government to run as efficiently as possible. And I know that the General Assistance Program, from my experience, is one of the most efficiently run programs that we have. For just $200 a month, we are able to keep people housed, and we're able to provide that bridge to stability for so many people. It's impossible to tell where they're going to go, but just for an example, if only 7% of the people that are currently receiving general assistance end up entering the criminal justice system, this scheme to eliminate general assistance is actually going to cost me, a taxpayer, money. If only 18% of them actually enter the shelter system, we'll be paying out more money, because the criminal justice system, the shelter system, social service programs like the United Way cost a lot more money than the general assistance program does.
But it sounds like, go ahead, Gary.
Now, what I was going to say is, again, that's a great point, because you then have the other area that's being cut through this Human Service Development Fund, and it's the intellectual behavioral disabilities programs. Now, these are individuals who are currently either receiving services in a group home setting, or they're receiving the services in their own home. When those services are cut, as is scheduled, as some of those services are scheduled to be cut, what happens to these individuals? They still need this service. So your options could be things like, out on the streets, hospital emergency rooms or county jails. Now, who pays for that? That still has to come from somewhere.
And you're saying that as far as looking at taxpayers, that costs more than keeping somebody in the community, Gary?
Exactly right. That if you look at the cost for group home settings, for example, as opposed to putting someone out on the streets or in the hospital emergency rooms, it's much less cost.
And that's Gary Drapek, he's CEO of United Way of Lackawanna and Wayne Counties, joins us along with Michael Froelich. He's a staff attorney with Community Legal Services here in Philadelphia. And we invited both of them to join us today in Radio Time to react to the Corbett administration's plan to reduce spending on social service programs by $629 million in the next fiscal year. We began our conversation with the Pennsylvania Secretary of Public Welfare, Gary Alexander. We have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Gary, let me go back to you and actually something that you wrote recently as a guest columnist looking at these cuts in the social service programs and looking at the block granting of these programs. Do you have, assuming this goes through, and of course that's a big assumption, but nonetheless, is there direction for counties about how to analyze what is the best program, how to spend 20% less money?
Well, I think, Marty, you kind of hit the nail on one of the problems or difficulties that we're having, and I think counties are having, and worse yet, county commissioners. As I said in the op-ed piece, what the state is doing is putting down to the county level this Solomon-like decision. You know, where should this money go? Should it help the homeless family, or should it help the person with intellectual or behavioral disabilities? From what we understand, unless it's being worked on as we speak, there was no real direction in this. And, you know, I'd like to just, as I said in the op-ed piece also, any work to make social services more efficient and to work together is a good thing. To try to implement this thing overnight is an absolute train wreck. And it's going to impact individuals on the streets who require and depend upon these services. I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't speak for the County Commissioners Association, but the County Commissioners Association actually came out and said, okay, the block grant might not be a bad idea, but give us time to implement it. You know, give us a test case somewhere where it we'll see how it works. And above all, don't cut us by 20%.
Would you say, though, Gary, and I'm not asking you to be overly specific on that, but when you look at social service programs, is there some redundancy in the system?
Well, I think there is. I think there's some redundancy in the system, as in all systems. And I think that it, like I said, it's a good thing to bring groups together and to try to work as efficiently as you possibly can. I know in our community we've been doing this for years, and part of that problem with the Black Grant Program is now you have agencies who have been working in tandem with one another, who have been trying to coordinate and consolidate services and provide them as efficiently as they possibly can, will now find themselves in a situation where they could be competing against one another after this same pot of money.
Which creates, what, a different kind of relationship?
Well, I think it would create a different kind. I think in the long run, the agencies really still would want to work together, but at the other side of the coin, they're looking out for their own clientele.
And if you're talking about less money, I guess more competition. Let me get Gary from Malvern to join us on Radio Times. And Gary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty. Boy, am I steaming.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm really steaming. Let me tell you that I was once a registered Republican. I am now an independent. I do have power in the voting booth, and I consider myself one of the privileged because I don't have to go to a food bank. I don't have to seek assistance. But I think these draconian cuts for the last two budgets, the last one and the coming one, is mean-spirited, and it doesn't get to the core of the issue. The core of the issue is the revenues. The revenues. My. They don't want to. Our governor doesn't want to raise taxes. Oh, such a damn bad word. I'm willing to pay taxes. I'm willing to have my taxes increase so that people don't have to starve.
Well, Gary, I appreciate your passion on this, and let me give actually Michael Froelich a chance to weigh in on your comments. And it's true, Governor Corbett does not want to raise taxes.
That is true, and I think that's actually goes to the worst thing about these proposals to eliminate general assistance and to cut the human services program is that it does not have to be this way. We can keep the general assistance program, we can keep human services funding, we can keep funding to education without raising taxes if we do two things. Number one, we postpone the planned corporate tax cuts that are scheduled to go into effect this year, and number two, we close the tax loophole. But I want to say one other thing in response to the caller's comment. In January, a Franklin and Marshall poll came out and said that, you know, it asked Pennsylvanians, how would you address this budget issue? And 70% of Pennsylvanians said that they don't want to cut programs that help the poor in order to balance the budget. So I'm somewhat hopeful that if people know about what's in the proposed state budget, they will be appalled. And if they are appalled enough that they'll pick up the phone or they'll send an email to their representatives or their senators and say, don't do this. This is not the this is not the Pennsylvania I want to live in. Restore funding to these programs.
Gary Drapik, go ahead.
Well, I fully agree with Michael. Said, and I will add a third, I guess. I wasn't counting. Maybe it was fourth.
That's okay.
I'm living in a region now. We're in a region right now which is booming with Marcellus Shale right now. When you talk about revenues, one of the things that a lot of people in this area cannot understand, and it is constantly in the editorial pages of our local newspaper, is why there can't be a tax put on Marcellus Shale to assist with the budget, and for some reason the current administration won't even address that issue. They're talking now about service fees, and we still don't really know what that's all about.
We have about a minute before our second break here, and going back to you though, Michael, and certainly organizations like yours, social service organizations, have said that with these cuts there will be more people in prison, more people in institutions, more people in emergency rooms. Is that the scenario you see as you look ahead?
Unfortunately, it is. Now, like I said, we don't know exactly how many people will turn to those programs, those services that you mentioned. However, you know, just a few days ago, we put up a web tool that some of the listeners might be interested in. A coalition of groups that are working to save the general assistance programs have a website at pacaresforall.org. That's pacaresforall.org, and there's a calculator there where you can slide these bars and say, okay, the governor proposes a $150 million cut, but if 1% goes into psychiatric inpatient hospitalization, what will the real savings or what will the real cost be? If 5% go into the shelter system, what will the cost be? So I encourage listeners, if you want to sort of play around with that and see actually how penny wise and pound foolish these proposals really are, you can check that out at pacaresforall.org.
And that's Michael Froelich. He's a staff attorney with Community Legal Services here in Philadelphia. On the telephone is Gary Drapik, and he's the President, Chief Executive Officer for United Way of Lackawanna and Wayne Counties. We'll take a very short break, get back to our conversation and our callers. Just one open line, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Lincoln, introducing the new 2013 Lincoln MKS with continuously controlled damping, or CCD. More at Lincoln.com. Lincoln, now it gets interesting.
Philadelphia Theater Company supports WHYY and welcomes The Outgoing Tide, the newest play from acclaimed Philadelphia playwright Bruce Graham, writer of Something Intangible and Any Given Monday. In a summer cottage on the Chesapeake, Gunner hatches an unorthodox plan to secure his family's future, but meets with opposition from his wife and grown son. The Outgoing Tide hums with dark humor and profound emotion. Tickets at 215-985-0420 or philadelphiatheatercompany.org.
Drastic service cuts in Pennsylvania could force adults with autism and intellectual disabilities to move back home to their aging parents. On the next Voices in the Family, how the potential cuts are impacting individuals' lives.
This is not a life. It's not a life for my child. It's not a life for me.
Also, a glimpse into the imaginative world of people on the autism spectrum with author Deborah Hassani. Today at noon, here on WHYY-FM.
Supporting WHYY, the First Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia at 21st and Walnut, offering an inclusive commitment to the city and concerts throughout the year. Information at fpcphila.org or 215-567-0532.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We're talking about the fact that Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett has proposed cuts of $629 million to social service programs here in the state of Pennsylvania in the next fiscal year. We're talking about all of this with our two guests here in our Philadelphia studios. Again, Michael Froelich, a staff attorney for Community Legal Services, and Gary Drapek on the telephone, president and chief executive officer for United Way of Lackawanna and Wayne Counties. A full bank of calls here. Let me see what Barbara from New Hope has to say. And Barbara, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. I was just listening, and, you know, I would be willing to adopt one of these recipients, the GA recipients, through this website. Is there, you know, we can pay 59 cents a day to feed and clothe a person on the other side of the world, but I live in Pennsylvania. I pay taxes. I don't have a lot of money, but if $200 a month is what these people receive, I would be happy to send somebody. I would adopt a family or a recipient and give them that money.
Well, let me see.
That's just a comment.
I know.
It's probably naive.
Well, that's okay. We take just about all comments here on Radio Times. Let me give Gary Drapek a chance to weigh in on that. Gary, go ahead.
Well, I think Barbara's comment isn't really all that naive. I think there are so many people in we are blessed in this Commonwealth because there are so many very generous people in the Commonwealth who want to make sure that their neighbors in need, you know, get the basics of what they need. I think what Barbara is saying is, if I'm understanding this correctly, 59 cents a day. 59 cents a day, that's what we're looking at to try to help someone put food on their table, to try to put someone have someone heat their homes. That's not a lot to ask of anyone.
Well, let me turn to you, Michael. And there are certainly questions about a government's responsibility to its people, private nonprofit agencies, their responsibility to people, individual citizens' responsibility as well. How do you see everyone playing a particular role?
I think everybody has a role. And Barbara's comments, I think, we hear all the time and from folks that say, this is not the direction that Pennsylvania is going right now is not the direction that I want my Commonwealth to go to. So Barbara, I guess I would offer two things. Number one is there are amazing organizations in Bucks County that are doing fantastic work to offer people who are down on their luck a bridge to a more stable life and encourage you to reach out to them, including the local United Way organization. But number two, and I think just as importantly, is that as I mentioned earlier, a state budget is a document that says what are our priorities as a Commonwealth. And if your priority as a Pennsylvania citizen and a Pennsylvania voter is not to eliminate general assistance and not to cut human services programs by 20%, then you know, I think that folks should feel free to send an email to their legislator or to the governor and say, this is not the Pennsylvania I want to live in, or to pick up the phone and call them, or to even visit them in their district office. The legislature is on session out of session for the next 2 weeks, and they should be home in their district offices. Go down and talk with your legislator about what are you guys thinking about when you're proposing such drastic and unprecedented cuts.
Barbara, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Did you want to add something to that,
Gary? The only thing I wanted to add to that is kind of to piggyback on something that Michael was saying, is that, you know, the cuts in a budget are much more than redlining, you know, an item on a spreadsheet. These are individuals' lives that you're dealing with here. It's very easy to sit in an office and just say, okay, this is costing too much money, and just put a red line through it and, you know, let's reduce it or send it up, without knowing how that trickle-down is going to affect the individual who is desperately in need. Barbara's comment, I think, is just indicative of a lot of the comments that I've been hearing up here in the Northeast. People, especially since I've been a little bit vocal about this, people have been stopping me on the street saying that, you know, why is this happening? How can this be, you know, what's going on here? Don't these people in Harrisburg realize what's going on? And my comment is the same as Michael. You know what? Pick up the phone, call your legislator. Indicate the fact that you don't like this.
Let me get Chuck from Center City, Philadelphia, to join our conversation. And Chuck, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
First, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your show. You and your show are a treasure to the city and to the country, as far
thank
as
you.
I'm concerned, for having these conversations.
Thank you.
You know, I want to make the point that I find it, you know, really revealing that at the same time that the Corbett administration is proposing these cuts, they're also passing laws, you know, voter registration laws, and ultrasound bills, and means testing for food stamps, and all kinds of things that are actually costing money. And I just, you know, I find it so outrageous that at the same time that they're, you know, proposing cuts to the least among us, you know, they're passing bills that are actually costing us money. And I am making my voice heard through, you know, political blogging and through calling my legislatures and constantly writing about it and talking about it. But, you know, it really is, you know, it's pretty outrageous.
And calling into radio shows as well. Let me give Michael Froelich a chance to weigh in on your comments. Chuck, thanks for the call.
Sure. I think the one thing that I'd say about this is that there does seem to be something particular about cuts to the Department of Public Welfare. Usually when the governor has considered making important policy changes, he's been very open about seeking input from a wide variety of stakeholders. You know, before he did anything with imposing the impact fee on the Marcellus Shale, he convened a commission. Before he did anything with transportation funding, he convened a commission. Before he did anything with the state liquor stores, he convened a commission. And I could name half a dozen other programs where the governor has convened a panel or a commission to study what are going to be the implications of these public policy changes. But here where Pennsylvania wants to radically change the public welfare programs that affect hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania families, hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania families who are, many of whom are at the end of their rope or struggling with disability or seniors, these changes are being made behind closed doors and without input from stakeholders. And it's curious, but it's also very troubling.
Gary, let me go back to you and actually something else that you wrote in your op-ed, wondering whether even the block granting of these programs and then the cuts in funding, whether that's legal or not. Is there a short answer to that question?
Well, I don't think there's a short answer at all. I think what's happening now is many individuals are looking at it as best as they possibly can. I know that there's been a few or at least one injunction that's been put out by the Disability Rights Network has filed for an injunction saying that it violates the Mental Health Intellectual Disabilities Act of 1966. There's also questions as to whether it violates a federal Wellstone Domenici Mental Health Act. But the point that I was trying to make is that there are questions out there. People are filing lawsuits. So when this filters down to the community in a block grant level, do communities and counties throughout Pennsylvania actually have the resources and the time to be in court adjudicating these cases?
Well, even going back to your article, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but you said that Secretary Alexander testified to the House Appropriations Committee that the block grant included state funds only,
right. While
his deputy secretary indicated that it included federal funds.
Well, and that was a point when I was listening in earlier that the secretary made, and I'm not saying one is more correct than the other. It's just the kind of thing that's going on where I don't think people have all of the information. Yes, Secretary Alexander testified to that fact, and then right after that, his deputy secretary said, oops, wait a minute, I think there's some federal funds in there. So who's, like I said, who's on first? Like, which statement do we go by? And if the second is in fact true, then all of these regulations that the secretary is talking about cannot, and flexibility cannot be put forward because there's still some federal regulations that have to be met.
Let me get back to our callers. We have Vicki from, looks like, Popley. And Vicki, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. I live in Lehigh County, and this is all making me panic. I worked from the time I was 15 till I was 46, I think, and nervous breakdown. I'm on disability. I have ulcerative colitis. I own my home, I pay all my taxes, and when you're on disability, you have a ton of insurance to pay. And if all these things are going to be cut, I don't know how I'm going to live.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times, Vicki, and I'm sorry that you're in such straits. And let me give Michael Froelich just a chance to weigh in. Obviously, we don't know the details of your case, but you raise an important issue.
You do, and Vicki, I'm as well sympathetic to the situation you find yourself in. I will say this. You know, I go to Harrisburg as often as I can to try to meet with people and to talk about the effect that these cuts would have. And one of the things that people say to me is, well, what about waste, fraud, and abuse in the Department of Public Welfare? Right. Waste, fraud, and abuse. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm a taxpayer, and I despise waste, fraud, and abuse just like the next guy. And by all means, let's go after waste, fraud, and abuse. But I think sort of the dirty little secret here is that there's not that much waste, fraud, and abuse. And when we in the department, there is some, obviously, just like there are in any program, and we should go after that. But really what we're talking about is, you know, people talk about waste, fraud, and abuse because they don't want to talk about Vicki. They don't want to talk about harming grandmothers who need help paying for their high blood pressure medicine. They don't want to talk about the 14-year-old with cystic fibrosis whose family needs help in community and behavioral home care. And so I think one of the other things is the general assistance program. The general assistance program is a core program. It is not waste, fraud, and abuse. It provides this vital bridge for people who are down on their luck and need a temporary help to get back into the workforce or to get Social Security disability benefits or to flee an abusive partner. So I think we need to be very, very careful when we talk about waste, fraud, and abuse and realize that actually what we're talking about are people in the general assistance program, for example, and people like Vicki.
Vicki, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Let me get Sandy from Harrisburg to join our conversation. And Sandy, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Michael. This is Sandy Strauss from the Pennsylvania Council of Churches. I just wanted to ask if Michael could speak a little bit to the fact that for the general assistance funds, those who receive it, people on disabilities, once they are approved for SSI disability at the federal level, that a lot of that money is recovered by the state. And so the savings, therefore, are not even what the governor's budget would claim.
Well, Sandy, let me give Michael a chance to weigh in, and Gary, you might want to add something as well.
Sure. This goes into a little bit of the details of the program, but a lot of people are receiving general assistance because they are waiting for their application for SSI or Social Security disability benefits to be decided by the Social Security Administration. And for anybody that has ever gone through this process or for anybody that has a close friend or a family member that's gone through this process, you know that the Social Security Administration often takes 18 months, 2 years before they finally decide this. So it's April 2nd today. If I file my application for Social Security disability benefits today, it's very likely that I won't get a decision back until Thanksgiving of next year or Christmas of next year or New Year's of 2014. And so frequently people are receiving general assistance to act as a bridge while they're waiting for their permanent disability benefits to be approved by Social Security. Mm. And once Social Security decides favorably on their case, then Social Security reimburses the Department of Public Welfare for all of the general assistance that that person has been receiving in the interim. Last year, the Department of Public Welfare received over $26 million from the Social Security Administration. And if general assistance is eliminated, then we lose that interim assistance reimbursement from the Social Security Administration.
Gary, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think the caller, I mean, hit one of the nails right on the head, and there's another, I guess, piece to this variable. We're talking about streamlining, and we're talking about trying to save funding as much as we possibly can. General assistance for this population provides a bridge to Social Security, to the SSI grant. And as Michael said, it's sometimes 18 months, and we see this all the time with individuals coming in saying, I've applied, but it's not hearing anything, not hearing anything, not hearing anything. Maybe one of the focuses should be on streamlining the SSI application to get funds into the hands of individuals in need much quicker.
I'm looking at something that Tony Ross, United Way of Pennsylvania president, said, looking at something like 800 nonprofit organizations. They were surveyed in the year 2011, and about half of them said that they had cut staff. Another almost half, 45%, that they had now waiting lists. 32% talked about program cancellations. If I can go back to you, Gary Drapik,
sure.
Does that sound like what's going on in your counties, Lackawanna and Wayne?
It's very typical. It's very typical across the Commonwealth. I'll cite you one example. Our domestic violence shelter, the Women's Resource Center, has cut their staff, and you're talking about a small operation, first of all. They've cut their staff by 20% over the past 2 years. They have lost online workers, 24-hour online workers. For the first time, they have been turning individuals away that they, victims of domestic violence, they used to be able to house in their shelters. And individuals calling through to their hotline, they have a 24-hour hotline, are not able to get through because they don't have the individuals to staff it. And that's just one program. That's just one agency out of, 100-plus that we fund or that the state helps to fund in our region. So the statistics that Tony were throwing out are just throughout the Commonwealth. It's not just in our region.
Yeah, and we're almost out of time here. Michael, final thoughts from you. How is this going to end, do you think?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think the more that we can talk about what the budget has in it and how it would affect so many Pennsylvanian families, I think the more people will say, this is not Pennsylvania. This is not the Pennsylvania that I want to live in. Last week, I was talking with a guy by the name of Jake Fleming, who's here in Philadelphia, and he told me that for 30 years, he was an active alcohol and drug user. He decided he wanted to turn his life around. He's now fully employed. He's supporting his 14-year-old daughter. He's been sober for 4 years now. And if this cut goes through, people aren't going to be able to tell the stories of survival and stability like Jake is.
Well, Michael Froelich, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. He's a staff attorney for Community Legal Services here in Philadelphia. And Gary Drapek. Sorry about that. Thank you for joining us on Radio Times as well.
Oh, you're welcome, Marty, and thank you for this show.
You're very welcome. Gary Drapek, President, Chief Executive Officer for the United Way of Lackawanna and Wayne Counties. We began our conversation with Gary Alexander. He is the Public Welfare Secretary for the state of Pennsylvania. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out much more about this program. And this